Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. I am joined this day, I'm trying to think what time of the day it is, by author Lindsay Schlegel, rhymes with bagel, talking about her new book. Everybody who listens know, Lindsay, that I can't pronounce names at all. So your little is beautiful.
And well, maybe later we can ask you to spell it just for kicks. And just see what happens.
Schlegel rhymes with bagel. I can actually spell it better than I can say it.
Right, but it's not spelled like bagel. That's the tricky part.
Now I'm gonna be adding an A to it, you know, every time I go to write it. I am so excited to bring Lindsay to you guys today. I met her in person this summer at the Catholic Marketing Network in Pennsylvania, which was just a fun, incredibly fun week. But the best part of going there is that you get to meet people that you fangirl over. And Lindsay is one of them. And her book is adorable. It's Don't Forget to Say Thank You. And it's sliding under here, the whole full title of it. And I would read it out loud, but true to Allison form, I put the book somewhere really safe so that I would be ready for our interview today, and I lost it. Oh, there it is. Don't forget to say thank you and other parenting lessons that brought me closer to God. And there's like nothing like parenting to bring you closer to God, but yeah. We will get to that title and more. First, Lindsay, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I am, first of all, a daughter of God, which is something I probably wouldn't have said before I was a parent and before I had the inspiration to write the book. But that is, first and foremost, my identity. I'm also a wife. I've been married for 10 years to my high school sweetheart turned husband. We've been together for almost 16 years. And we have a slew of kids. We have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, an almost 5-year-old, an almost 2-year-old, and one we are expecting in July, and one Saint praying for us upstairs.
Oh my gosh.
How did that happen? especially since I met John in high school and we've been together since we were 17, sometimes we look around and we're like, wait, aren't we still 17? Like, what just happened?
Oh, I can't tell you how much I can relate to this. Been dating my husband since we were 16 and 18.
Oh my gosh.
Except for we're on 35 and 30 years, respectively.
That's awesome.
There are still days, Lindsay, like totally, we look at each other and go, some things have not changed.
Yeah.
And other things were like, how? Like, he's a deacon.
Right.
It's like, how did we get here from not going to church, from being these two ridiculously foolish children lost in space, barely talking to God, to where we are with three beautiful children and adult?
I know. We're like, we have a house. We have a minivan. And we've had the minivan for a long time. It's actually the first car we each ever owned because we lived in Brooklyn. We lived in Manhattan and Brooklyn when we first got married, so we didn't need a car. And then when we moved back to our hometown in New Jersey, we bought a minivan, and some of our friends were like horrified. They're like, why would you buy a minivan? We're like, because we have two kids already and we want to have more. Actually, when we bought it, the salesman tried to convince us to get a smaller car. We were like, but we have two kids and we would like to have more. He's like, but wouldn't you like a sedan? And we're like, which kid do you want us to leave at home? It was so weird. You're like, I don't think you understand what we're doing here.
I have to say, I miss my minivan. And I had a minivan that was called a sports model. So it was literally jacked up in the back. I had the coolest mom ever driving my Dodge Caravan with the sport package jacked up in the back. I'm like, brilliant marketing.
Oh my gosh. We got to think of that next time when this one bites the dust.
Well, I left a Monte Carlo SS. So it was really hard jump.
And also because we lived in Brooklyn, when we got it. So like our car was our stroller. Like that's how we brought things around. So I felt like we had an RV. I was like, we can take our entire lives around in this Odyssey. And now we've like, praise God, filled it up with kids. And we're like, how do you guys are going to fit in here? But
I love it.
It's all good things.
And I do miss my little minivan now. I drive a Subaru and I feel super cool, but I do miss being able, like when we go places, there's five of us and now there's girlfriends involved. And when we have to go picking up my mom or his mom, who both, it's all of a sudden I'm like, oh, we need two cars. I miss being able to shove everybody in here.
More seats in your car than people in your family, because otherwise no one comes anywhere with you ever.
Exactly. We take two cars. My poor mother had to drive home from Christmas dinner celebration with one of my sons. She said, though, he did a good job. He's 20. I think she was a little nervous at first, but she knew her options were limited. That's the other scary thing. Eventually, they're driving the minivan. But
yeah, let's not think about that now.
Your book is about parenting. What brought you to write this book?
Sure. Yeah. So when my oldest two were about 4 and 2, I heard them arguing one day about their toys, Legos or something, right? And the older one, Jacob, said something to the other one, Henry, that he had obviously gotten from me. It was like a snarky, like late 20s woman way of saying things, not a 4-year-old boy way of saying things. And I knew that came from me. That did not come from John. That did not come from grandma. We don't watch enough TV for it to have come from anywhere else. He like wasn't even in school yet. Clearly, I'd messed. All right, God, I see I've already messed this up a little bit, and he's 4. So you're gonna have to help me here, because obviously, clearly I can't do this by myself. And so as a kind of a part of that, and then I got pneumonia in July. Thanks, Vacation Bible School. Questioned ever doing that again. No one else got pneumonia, but I'm pretty sure that's where I got it. So I had like 2 weeks to lie in bed and think. And I felt a little like St. Ignatius of Loyola, not to get too prideful there, because I'm not a saint. But I was convalescing and thinking about my relationship with God. And I realized that the things I was saying to my kids were the things that I needed to hear. Like when I got upset with them and I yelled, it was because I was being impatient. And I needed to even do things like go to bed on time and eat my dinner and like do these things that I'm trying to tell my kids. God wanted all of these things for me too, because he's my father and I am still his daughter. And I think especially at that stage of parenting when my kids were really little, and I think more to a degree then than now as they're getting older, I was in charge of a lot of things. And I am kind of micromanaging the littler ones because I'm like civilizing them, right? Like this is where you eat and like this is where you do other things and this is where you don't do other things. But you kind of can fall into a sense of control and a sense of having it all on your shoulders and thinking that I think our culture also is telling us that we can and should do it all, whatever the all is. That's the part no one talks about. And I just realized that I needed to lean on God. And when I accepted him more as my father and accepted that I was his daughter, even though, and maybe more so because I am a mother, my parenting things got a little easier and I felt more confident in what I was doing. And I felt more loved and cherished. And that makes a big difference in how you treat other people. So I think that idea of like, wait a minute, the things that are coming out of my own mouth are all the things God wants me to hear. Like maybe someone else needs to hear that too. Cause I think we can look for holiness in a lot of places and try to figure out how to get there and what do we need to add in or what do we need to do? But for me, it was the words coming right out of my mouth. And I think for a lot of us, that might be the case. Even if your vocation isn't parenting, I think a lot of times people look at the book and say, oh, it's a book about parenting. It has like parenting tips in it. And I mean, maybe, but that's not what it is. It's more about my vocation as a mom, which is my path back to God. So whatever your vocation is, God is calling to you in that. And for me, that's motherhood.
Oh, I love that. And I was thinking, as you said, that prideful part of being St. Ignatius and lying in the bed at that moment, Lindsay, he wasn't a saint either.
That's true.
He is a good example for you to and a role model for all of us. Yeah. We all have that universal call to holiness, but not all saints were saints. at one point in their life, literally in their life, because you have to be dead to be a saint. But that's another whole.
That's another show.
I love that checklist to become a saint. Number one, got to be dead.
Die. Dead. Wait, probably should do some couple things before I die. That should be the last one on the list.
Oh, that's my problem.
Reverse it. Flip it around, guys.
I got to do some stuff in the meantime. One of the things I have to do, and it's part of your book, Don't Forget to Say Thank You, is this is from Ave Maria Press, correctly? Correct, yeah. Correctly. I'm making up words.
Let's just adverb everything. Why not? They're glorious.
I think my favorite. I think maybe favoritely do that. So, don't forget to say thank you. Ave Maria Press. Lindsay Schlegel is my guest today. We're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrisson. On chapter two, obedience to God's will. I have to say, obedience is one of my hardest. And it's not because I'm prideful. I am. But it's because I'm fearful. Like I was... Many years ago, I was studying God's word. I had just started to come back to the faith in 2005, and I was studying God's word, and it was like this humble obedience. He used to keep coming into my study, into everything I was reading, and it was the humbling part is hard enough, but the obedience part, I'm fearful of what God's will is for me, and that comes down to, of course, a lot of different things, but that lack of trust, that lack of faith. But obedience. So why is it important for us, to be obedient and to stop, as you put, stop whining. I love that.
Whining. Oh my gosh. I tell my kids to stop whining, I don't know, 37,000 times a day. And then my husband walks in the door and he's like, how was your day? I'm like, well, first of all, and then I wonder where they get it from. Like I wrote a whole book about it and I'm still doing it. I think you're right on with the part about trust, because if we really trust God, and this is something I'm learning more and more as I continue to go deeper into my faith and kind of go in different directions of learning more about God and about who I am as his daughter. If we trust God, then obedience is really easy because we don't have to worry about anything, right? But if we don't trust him, if we're still trying to rely on ourselves, if we're not confident that God really has our best interest in heart, then we're not necessarily going to do what he says. We're going to keep looking out for ourselves. And I think the same way that I want my kids to trust me, and it is because, a lot of times it's like, hey guys, I'm older than you are. And I've done this already. So like, let me help you here. And I think that's often what God is, sorry, I'm grabbing my my plug. I think that's a lot of time what God is trying to say to us too, like, not I'm older than you. But
he is, let's be honest.
Yeah, but he's older than me. That's true.
There are very few people who are older than me these days, Lindsay. I have to count them all. I have to make sure I haven't missed any.
But God's trying to tell us, like, I know what's best for you because I created you and I love you so much. So, I think so much of what we do, so much of sin and so much of what asks us to turn away from God is not trusting him. Mm-hmm. But when we do trust him, then so much like this weight is lifted off of us because then we're doing the best we can, but we're not, less is on our shoulders. Like we're not trying to be something that we were never called to be in the first place. And I think really so much of it starts, with knowing who we were called to be. Like I said before, like my first identity is a daughter of God. And when that is the first part of who I am and the foremost part of who I am, then everything else is colored by that and informed and shaped and informed, and, I don't know, more smart verbs by that. I had another one, but when we try, I think sometimes we're just trying to be someone that we weren't called to be. But when we figure out who that person that we're called to be is, then we can pursue it. And then we get closer to God because what he really wants is relationship with us. And even as parents, I think a lot of times, especially as kids maybe get into faith formation stuff, they're getting into their sacraments. We can think about how maybe we're going to church or we're doing these liturgical living kind of stuff at home in order to help form them. But we forget that we still need to be formed too, right? Like this vocation is God calling out to me. And my job is certainly to help my kids be holy. And my husband and I, our job for each other is to help each other get to heaven. But my path to holiness is not it is still part of that equation. And I think we, as moms especially, can leave that part out because we're trying to take care of everyone else. But God is calling out to us saying, no, I want you too. I love you too. And I've given you all this because I want you to come right up next to me.
Amen. But I was thinking when you were saying that about how you have to live it, especially with in front of children, you know, if the picture's worth a thousand words, yeah. I always think that my behavior is that picture
yes.
that people see that is worth those thousand. I can say anything I want, but if I'm not living it, if I'm not, you know, do as I say, not as I do, like if I'm doing that, then I am people pick up on that. Authenticity yes. is huge, especially with children. Like we yes. think we can snow our children, and in some ways we can, but in most ways we cannot. And then,
but they start to catch on a little bit.
They catch on pretty quickly.
Sometimes some of them learn to read the clock way earlier than you thought they did. Actually, my oldest called my mother-in-law out on it. She was, I don't know, she was watching them one night and tried to put them to bed at like the wrong time. And they were like, it's not what mom would do. She was like, oh. It wasn't on purpose, but she also had no idea that my oldest, it was a digital clock, to be fair. But like, oh, shoot, this kid's on to me already.
And being, and also I love saint quotes and I tend to overuse them, but one of them is Saint Catherine of Siena, who said, be who you are created to be and you will set the world ablaze. And the idea of trying to be somebody else, it never works out.
It doesn't. And like, but we keep trying. That's so funny. We just talked about that quote on my podcast. I just recorded an episode on that quote recently. So stay tuned. You're going to have another one. Sorry.
And what is the name of your podcast? What is the name of your podcast, by the way?
My podcast is called Quote Me with Lindsay Schlegel. And we talk about a quote that has somehow affected the, I know you and I, we just do a whole season, just you and me.
Yeah, we could.
A quote that has somehow affected that guest's life. And it's super fun. We don't use Bible quotes because that I think would be a whole different podcast. Yeah. Which maybe someday that will come into existence, but saint quotes are allowed, but, we've also had like Mr. Rogers and Food and Wine magazine and a page a day calendar. Like God speaks to us. That kind of goes off the same theme, right? Like God is speaking to us wherever we are. Mm-hmm. And words have always been really powerful to me. My love language is words of affirmation. I've just Ooh. Always, we joke that. So when we listen to music, I will pick up on the words and the lyrics and my husband will pick up to the tune. He played the violin since he was like four.
But
the reverse is not true. Like I like to say, I'm an equal opportunity singer. Like I will sing in all of the keys. And John, there's one song that I love, a Christmas song that John took Christmas right out of. He sings it. And I was like, we're in high school. And I was like, do you know what this song is about? He's like, what? No idea. What that is about. But I don't, that's like one of the beautiful ways that we work together. Together, we're a beautiful song or a hot mess.
I love that we're complementary, that God created yeah. us, men and women, to be complementary to each other. And not just saying nice things to each other, but that we truly bring out the best and sometimes the worst, but mostly.
Right. But that's like one of those ways I can see how we're these two puzzle pieces that like we just fit together the right way.
Absolutely. My husband, after 35 years, he still makes me swoon. Like he's gone to the March mm-hmm. for Life with our church and he took a picture, you know, a selfie with him and a couple of deacons on the bus. And I sent him just a little private text. You're the cutest deacon on that bus. And like he makes me swoon and yeah. he still makes me laugh.
Yeah.
We are grown adults and we've almost been kicked out of things because once two of us start giggling over something. I once was trying to read scripture during like luckily a private prayer service and not mass. And before I went up, he decided one of the words he knew was going to trip me up. So he whispered in my ear, like how that was going to trip me up. And it was so funny. I'm trying to read and I handed him the Bible and I said, you read it because it's your fault. I can't. And then I never read again out loud the scriptures because his voice gets in my head, right?
You can't stop.
It's supposed to be the voice of God in there. No, it's the voice of Kevin. So Lindsay, some of the other wonderful topics. Don't forget to say thank you. We're talking today with Lindsay Schlegel, Ave Maria Press, wonderful book. One of the things that you talked about was to take care of yourself. Our caring for our bodies, eat your dinner. I'm right now going through a sugar detox with a bunch of my friends. We're doing the Wendy Speak 40-day sugar detox. And it's the first time in a long time I've thought about what goes in my body, yeah, how my body is a temple. Why include that in your book?
In part because it was penance I was given in confession, actually more than once.
Wow.
Go do something. You know, I confessed some part of losing my patience and just not feeling like I was giving my best. And the priest said, you need to go take care of yourself. Like, you can't live your whole vocation without taking care of who you are too. And like, I think that it just all kind of works on the same theme that like God has created me as his beloved daughter. And I can't write that off and just think that I'm supposed to take care of everyone else. And I think there's a line between like what self-care actually is and what authentic rest actually is. And things that are indulgent or things that don't actually leave us feeling rested and rejuvenated and ready to go. I think really good rest should always leave us ready to serve again. We should always be excited to come back and serve again. But I've noticed that when I don't eat well, or when I go to bed too late, which is almost always, I'm cranky the next day and I don't get up when I want to. And then maybe I don't do the exercise that I want to in the morning, or I don't, you know, those days when you can't remember the last time you took a shower and you just feel gross. I get cranky from those things, right? So like, that's not fair to the people I'm serving. And on the one hand, okay, you fight through it and you persevere. But also like, what if I didn't put myself in that situation? What if I took care of myself so that I was ready to go give my family everything they needed to be? And I don't want to give my kids the example of not taking care of myself, because I want them to, like you said, their bodies are temples and their bodies are gifts from God. And we should be, I think taking care of our bodies, I think eating well, hydrating, going to bed, exercising, you know, a moderate amount, not over the top. Those things are prayer. And I think we separate those things from prayer and we call them self-care and, you know, take care of yourself, kind of, you know, treat yourself kind of a thing. But I think when we see them for what they are, they're also prayer, because they're prayers of thanksgiving. There are times that my kids, in the book, I talk about a gift one of my sons were given. I don't know. I think they were weapons. All my 7-year-old wanted for his birthday this year was weapons. And his birthday was right before Christmas. We were like, okay, fine. But also, here's a baking book. Create something.
Just balance this out. I remember when my kids were little, I'll let you finish that story in a second, but yeah. Remember when my boys were little and I was like, no weapons. I'm not giving them any weapons. And the first thing they do is they take their fingers and they create one. It's just part of their makeup.
Built into them. I read a book called The Male Brain after I had my second son. It was fascinating. About like they just need, like they develop morality by seeing black and white of things, and they have to see the black and white before they can see the gray. So that's part of like the fighting and the you know, the play with the bad guys and all stuff. Like that's them learning morality.
Yep.
But also don't hit people.
So the gift, I interrupted.
Gift. He had, I think they were like ninja weapons or something, but he was using it as something else. Oh no, it was a football end post he was using as a weapon. That's what it was. And I was like, if you don't use that gift the way it was intended, it's going to break. And it was another moment that something came out of my mouth and I thought, that's what I need to realize too. My body is a gift. And if I don't use it the right way, it's going to break before it needs to. So, I mean, I think sometimes we hear this self-care stuff, you know, in order to take care of your family, you need to take care of yourself. But also taking care of yourself honors God. And I think when we don't take care of ourselves, we're again, like not really trusting God. We're not recognizing the gift that he's given us. We're kind of just using it and not taking care of it. And I think it can be a prayer of thanksgiving to take care of our bodies. And I think sure, it helps the other people and us to live our vocation, but more directly, it comments on our relationship with God. And do we really trust that he loves us and that he's created us to be good?
And we really can be so abusive to ourselves. Like for me, that my sugar addiction and the way I treat my body comes from, I went through a very difficult time in my childhood. You know, I was abused. I had some awful date stuff happen. And I know that I was like, well, I'm going to protect myself by, you know, by getting comfort other places in the sugar and then letting my body be something that wasn't attractive and all those things that come with being abused and all those things that happen. But I'm realizing now as I get older that what happened happened. God has made me new. God has healed those things. God has used them for incredible good. When I give my live talks, that's when I usually talk about the stuff. I choose not to talk about it, usually publicly on my blog or even like this too much, because I don't want those people to be hurt by, you know, they're still around and I don't want them to be hurt. But I also, when I'm speaking, I use it, and because I know it's, I've been healed. Yeah. God has healed me. And I want other people to see God can make all things new again. You don't need to be stuck there. But so I healed that part of me. And but I never changed the behaviors. They became an addiction. They became just a way of interacting with food, and I didn't give it much thought. Well, now I'm getting into my 50s, and my daughter's only 14. And I realized that I owe her to do everything I can to be healthy so that I can continue to be here for that. She needs me, and I need to do whatever I can to be here. And I think that that lesson can be extended to all parts of our lives. Yeah. I need to work best on my, you know, my spiritual life, because there's people who count on that, me particularly, like count on my own spiritual growth, my physical, my financial, all of those areas of our life that God has given us these, you know, about gifts. I love that quote. My goodness, that could be a quote me. Can I come on and do that quote me on your podcast? If I don't use it right, it's going to break, and it will. Because my kids always say, no, you're just, you know, you're, it won't. I got it all in control. And 2 seconds later, you hear a snap and tears.
Right. Right? Like, should I say, hey, what? Hey, guys. Hey, guys, you remember what Mama just said a minute ago or no? Do you remember that?
And how God tries to protect us from that, just like a mom. Like, right. Why we say these things to our children. Like, I'm looking at all your subtitles, which I love, you know, stop whining. Go to bed. Wait a minute. How many times have I told you this? Be nice to her. You need to say you're sorry. Like all those things that God says to us again and again, because he loves us. He knows better. He cares for us, and we ignore them. I love that you put that analogy into your book. Don't forget to say thank you to teach us these wonderful lessons that are so easily missed as we get busy or just don't even put that into context like that.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, we teach our kids this, right? And we can't, and we maybe if you don't have kids and you, I think a lot of these things you still expect that like a kindergartner or first grader, these are the things that you teach a child at that age. Yeah. And maybe younger and older, you know, and then we get to be adults and things kind of seem to get in the way, and we can justify some of the things, you know, we can whine a little bit here and there and all right, but just one more episode of The Crown. it's good, right?
I've heard I need to watch that.
It's really good. So we miss these things that like we knew when we were little. And then somehow I think we have the impression that we grew out of them, but I'm still a child of God, and I am still a child in a lot of ways. And there's so much that I still have to grow and learn. And I need God to be part of that, because that's the way, like, that is how he intended this whole thing. He never intended for us to do marriage and family life alone. Like when you listen to the prayers of a wedding mass or wedding ceremony, like, God's in it all the way. I mean, like, you can't do it by yourself. I know we couldn't. In the last few years, John and I have started to teach pre-Cana, and it's such a blessing because we, for our own marriage, you know, like we're forced to reflect on things and find a way to communicate what we've learned and what we're still learning and what's helped us. And like, here's what we, you know, what we want you to avoid. And here's what marriage really, really is. Like, this is what the church teaches marriage is. And this is why it's the foundation of your family life. And this is why your marriage comes first and your kids come second. Close second, but second. Because all of these things are an image of God's love for us and the way that he wants, that he loves and wants us to be. Not because he's like a mean, demanding father, but because he's a loving parent who sees all the good things that are in us and wants them to do all the things that he created us to do.
Amen. Oh my goodness. So much wisdom. How'd you get so wise? I wish I had some of that wisdom at your age. Took me a long, I'm a slow learner. But again,
John and I are fake millennials. So not real millennials.
Fake millennials. That's funny.
That's true. Well, technology I'm so bad at it. So I used to be good, and now I'm like, I got a new iPhone a few months ago, and I was like, I don't know what to do. I can't do it anymore. There isn't even that one button anymore. There are zero buttons.
I always think I'm really good at it until I've got some mad skills. Let's be honest.
With yeah, you do for
technology.
Sure.
But then I'll watch somebody else. I'm like, how did you create that? Anyway. How did you find that? Why is your video doing that fun thing when my video can only, you know, do two very minimal things? But again, we're talking today with Lindsay Schlegel. I got it. Schlegel. I'm doing the bagel thing in my head. It's all good. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, and we're talking about her book, Don't Forget to Say Thank You, and Other Parenting Lessons That Brought Me Closer to God, out from Ave Maria Press. And it's just such, it's really for a parent, whether your kids are 2 or 22, 52, if you don't have children, if your mom or a dad, like really this book is just chock filled with aha moments and things that are going to make you think, because we are all children of God. And really the things that we're teaching our children, God's been trying to teach us forever. One of my favorite chapters in your book is chapter 12 on the Blessed Virgin as our mother. It's okay, mommy's here. I was so happy you included her in your book in that chapter. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah, Mama Mary's in there a couple times. So actually at the end of each chapter, there's a saint to call on for their intercession, his or her intercession. And Mama Mary's in there 3 times out of what, 14, 15 chapters? I just
15 different
titles. I had to go back and check and make sure it wasn't like all her. so I think even as I am blessed. My mom is alive and well. And we've always had a good relationship. My grandmother lived until she was 98. She died about 5 years ago. Right before I had my daughter, actually. And when I had my daughter, I said, Mom, should I name her after grandma? But grandma never liked her name, and we didn't really either. So we didn't do that. She's like, she wouldn't have wanted you to. Don't do it. Okay.
Right. No, my grandmother was named Hilda. That wasn't happening in our life.
Just wasn't. And putting things with Schlegel can be a little bit tricky. So we didn't.
Sure.
Sarah's worked out pretty well for us.
It's a beautiful. We almost named my son John, but I hadn't thought about John Gingras. And every time I say it, the whole song, John Gingras, Hingle Michael Schmidt, whatever that word
comes from. My husband's middle name is Jacob. His name is John Jacob.
Okay, there you go.
Heimer Schmidt. So they send that to him in elementary school.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So my brain works. Welcome to my brain.
So my mom is Catholic. My dad is not yet. Say a prayer. And I don't think I actually learned how to say the rosary until I was 19 or 20, maybe. My husband's family was praying it together and they invited me to pray it. And I was like, I don't know how. And I made an excuse not to say it, like not to come over that day, which I felt like was kind of wrong. But I didn't know what to do. Like, I didn't know how to say it. So yeah, I learned how to say the rosary. And over time, I found that my mom says the rosary a lot. And more now, she calls on that prayer a lot. And when my grandmother was in hospice, we thought it would be maybe 2 days. And it was like 3 months. And she had her rosary with her all the time. And so, I mean, she was not practicing a great deal. I don't know when the last time she went to Mass was before she passed, but she did see a deacon and all good things. So it was like, we didn't talk about faith. Like, even though my mom and my grandmother were Catholic women in my life, my grandmother actually converted in order to marry my grandfather. We didn't really talk about it. We didn't pray the rosary together. We didn't pray as a family, really, because my whole family wasn't Catholic and it's just not how I grew up. Yeah. But I noticed that when my grandma was sick and in things that worry my mom now, things that she's offering up, like the rosary beads are in their hands and they have shown me that this is where you go. Like, my mom has always been the person that I can go to. She still is. Like, she's always the person I can go to. So I've had a very real human experience of a good mom. And that is such a blessing. I know not everybody has that. And my mother is amazing too. So they have both been like really beautiful examples. And thank God my kids have these really beautiful examples of what a mom is, even as a grandmother. But they showed me, without saying anything, that this is where you go when it gets hard. Like when you're an adult, it's okay that it still gets hard, and it's okay that you need to go somewhere because Mama Mary is always there for us. And she wants us, like the same way that we want our kids to come to us when something's wrong, like she wants us to go to, and she's not going to necessarily fix everything and make it all like tied up with a bow perfect, but like she's going to be there, you know, like sometimes, especially because my kids are still little, sometimes they just need a hug, you know, and they'll playing with dad, and they, I mean, my husband's amazing, and they'll go to him when they're hurt, but sometimes it's just, I mean, mommy's the first word out of their mouths, right? Yeah. Like I need mommy right now.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so just their example was really powerful to me to see that these women that I love and respect, this is where they go. Like they know that they can't do it all themselves either. And they know that there's strength in our Blessed Mother.
Oh, that is, that's why it's my favorite chapter. That's just beautiful. Those lessons, that the thought of that, it's just, she's such a gift. And I too didn't come to know, and I was born into a Catholic family, but we weren't a praying family. We prayed the rosary only when it was lightning out and then our house got struck by lightning. And so we didn't pray for a while. True story. I didn't pray for a while. I'm like, oh, these are broken. This doesn't work. I'm like, that's not how this works. So Lindsay, our time is coming to an end here. As this wonderful opportunity to speak with you today, what is it, you know, I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but what is it that you hope people will get from reading your book?
I hope that they will see that wherever God puts them in their lives, he's reaching out to them. Because I think so many times, especially when we're focused on serving others or we're focused on what we're called to do, we forget that that calling, the root of it is calling us back to God. And I know more than anything else, he wants relationship with us. And I know more than anything else, that relationship is what's going to satisfy our hungry hearts. So I hope that whether you're a parent or a grandparent or not, or married or not, or anything, like wherever you are in life, God put you there because that's where he needs you to be. And that's like, he's reaching out to you. And so for me, it's these words that come out of my mouth. It's the way that I'm parenting my kids and the way that my kids are teaching me about what a father's love looks like. But it could be different for everyone. But a God's call of, I love you and you are my beloved child, is the same for every one of us.
Amen. That is so true and so beautiful. And that's what I got from reading. Don't forget to say thank you. So I know that anybody else who picks it up is going to get that and infinitely, infinitely more, because God blesses us when we give time to him. He doesn't ever waste it, ever waste it. So I love spiritual reading. And don't forget to say thank you is at the top of my list of books I love. So tell us first where we can listen to Quote Me.
Sure. So you can find Quote Me, my podcast, anywhere you find your podcast, Podbean, Apple, all the places that I don't know exist, but it's there. I've searched in various places. I just can't remember what they're all called, but anywhere. Or if you go to my website, lindseyschlegel.com, there's a link to the podcast there. And I'd love to get a note if you want to be on the podcast, if you know there's a quote you want to talk about, if you know there's someone we should have on as a guest, I'd love to hear that. And also if I can, when you go to my website, you can sign up for my email list, which is not spammy, I promise. But you'll also right away get a link to these daily affirmation cards, which you can print out and share. I have one up in my bedroom, even though I basically wrote it, I still need to be reminded of it all the time that I am a beloved child of God and I am totally loved. And I think you put that up in your house and you read that every day and it is life-changing. So please download them, print them out, share them, leave a stack in your parish, leave a stack under someone's windshield somewhere, because we all need that message. We all need to hear it.
Oh my gosh, that is really, I feel like we're so connected. When I first came back to the faith, there was a book I read that told us to take and make index cards, which aren't as pretty as the ones that you offer. And so leaving them around the house, like I'd stick them in the mirror in the bathroom or in my car on the dashboard or on the refrigerator, but yours are much more beautiful and it's really easy to leave those around than my handwriting scribble note on an index card. So absolutely go check out Lindsay's website. I'll have all the links to all of that, including where you can get the book, which of course you can get at your local Catholic bookseller. I always want to send people there first and foremost.
Please.
Absolutely. And if they don't have it, you can ask for it. Don't think because it's not on their shelf that they can't get it for you.
Yeah, they'll get it for you in like 2 days.
Exactly.
Yeah, so someone else would have gotten it to you. So
exactly. And you're supporting, I mean, for many Catholic business bookstores, as Lindsay and I learned when we went to the Catholic Marketing Network this summer, this is more than just selling books. It's a ministry, and we're helping support that and keep those books alive, because you may have a faith that's strong and on its way, but somebody might stumble across that bookstore walking by someday. So let's support our local Catholic bookstores. And of course, you can get it through Ave Maria Press or any place you purchase your Catholic books. Lindsay, thank you so much for spending
the time. Thank you for having me, Allison. It was so good to chat with you again.
It was nice to see you. Congratulations on your new little bundle of joy. That's exciting. Love it. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. God bless.
Breadbox Media programming is brought to you by. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.